welcome to episode 42 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing that we love most, travel. Each week we'll talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local and some more exotic. Why don't you join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients? Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Andy, and this week I'm joined by my fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth, Amy, Robin, and Sandy. We also have the pleasure of being joined by a special guest, Ellen Lamb. She is the sales manager for leisure and business travel at the West Inn on Hilton Head Island at the resort and spa there. And Elizabeth and I were fortunate enough to visit this property, along with several other magnificent Hilton Head properties a couple of weeks ago. And we were so excited about having met Ellen and sort of learning about her knowledge of the area, we asked if she'd come on the show with us this week. So let's get started. Hi there, Ellen. How are you?
Good. Thank you, Andy, for having me.
Well, this is our pleasure. We really appreciate you spending the time with us this evening. Ellen, can you tell us a little bit about Hilton Head in general? Well, why should people come and visit?
Well, Hilton Head really is a gem of a spot. It is located in South Carolina on the southernmost tip, but really what people don't know about Hilton Head is that it really is a destination that's for everybody. There's a little something for everyone.
I know. I've lived in South Carolina. It's not really somewhere I've been. Everybody sort of thinks South Carolina destination has been Myrtle Beach or Charleston. Up until recently, it's been about 15 years since I traipsed down to Hilton Head. I know it's one of the larger barrier islands, and there's lots of different natural habitats, you know, salt marsh, and you've got the intracoastal waterway and beautiful beaches. And it's really, I think, the beaches which are the main attraction. But there's lots of nature, and isn't it very accessible? You know, there's not a whole lot of sort of motorized transport, bikes. We saw a lot of bicycles while we were down there. Well, can you tell us a little bit about what's going on there and what sort of things you can expect to see?
Well, absolutely. Hilton Head really is a natural state island. We are the second largest barrier island on the East Coast with 12 miles of pristine beaches, located on the most southern tip of South Carolina, so really just right before you cross into Savannah, Georgia. And really, you know, the town has worked super hard to protect its most original environment so that, you know, we have the birds, the loggerhead turtles, dolphins, and alligators, you know, all different sorts of sea life that are really natural to this area. So, you know, also being a tidal estuary, we just have tons of nature that you can really get up close and see. And really, it's as easy as going for a bike ride, whether it's on the beach or getting on a kayak and getting into our intercoastal waterways.
See, Elizabeth, you didn't have to go all the way to Florida to see an alligator.
Did you see an alligator?
I finally saw an alligator in Florida. I never saw one in the wild, but finally when I went to Canaveral, they actually know exactly where they are so they can point them out to you as you drive by. I did not see an alligator when we were at Hilton Head, though. Do you have them? Do you have alligators?
We have tons of alligators. Tons of alligators.
They hide them when it's tourists.
I know. I never see them. I never.
They just hide them when Elizabeth's.
It's me. So we talked a little bit about bicycling and then the kayaking and everything, but Hilton Head seems to be really known for two big sports, golf and tennis. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what those opportunities are there?
Oh, absolutely. You know, Hilton Head is known a lot for golf and for tennis. We have over 20 championship golf courses on the island, some with some big name architects such as Pete Dye, Jack Nicklaus, and Robert Trent Jones. We also host the PGA, Carrick PGA Tour golf tournament, which takes place every year right after the Masters that happen in Augusta. So just 2 hours, you know, 2 hours south of that. And then we have a week-long tournament where a lot of the players say that it's one of their favorite spots. Hmm. But when it comes to tennis, we have over, you know, 350 tennis courts, and we're also home of some very established tennis academies.
So being so far south near Georgia, your temperatures are pretty decent most of the year, huh?
It's actually a very, very mild climate. You know, we have highs in the winter months in the 60s to low 70s. You know, it's not uncommon for you to be out on the beach on January 1st, you know, in just a sweatshirt. So certainly very temperate climates right here.
The water is freezing at that time there, right?
Yeah. I personally might not get in, but you have many Northerners that do get in, and it's, you know, it's certainly, I guess it's all perspective, right?
Yeah.
When I was growing up, we moved to Myrtle Beach when I was young, and the only people that got in the winter were the Canadians.
Definitely. We have those Northerners that do visit us over those months. You know, certainly they're escaping the cold and the harsh winters up there, but certainly Hilton Head is certainly much nicer weather than they have there. And, you know, actually not as costly as Florida would be at that time of year, too. So,
well, that's a nice little tip. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a nice little place to escape to. But, you know, as you say, it's not quite the distance that it is to Florida, but it's very, very reachable from some of those sort of, I hate to use the term, rust belt states. But snowbirds do like South Carolina. Ellen, so I mean, it's not just the beaches and golf and things like that. I mean, there's a lot of history on Hilton Head, right?
Oh, there is. There has been, you know, Hilton Head's been settled by the Spanish and also the English. So the earliest recordings actually go back to the 1500s when the Spanish were really confirmed as the first island visitors. But also for Civil War history buffs, we really have a lot of historical markers, including Fort Walker and Mitchellville, which was the first self-governed settlement for free men in the U.S., right here on Hilton Head. And to this day, the Gullah are really carrying out the traditions of their descendants and their ancestors.
The Gullah, for those of you who aren't familiar with the Gullah traditions, they're the ladies you often see on the side of the road, sort of weaving with the sweet grass baskets. And obviously they have their own sort of peculiar dialect that's local and native to that area. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah, because obviously I'm not a native of South Carolina. I've lived there for a while and I've picked up a little bit.
Well, there was a show on PBS, a kid's show called Gullah Island. And yeah, that was really
That's
cool.
right.
That's how
that's
I know
right.
about it.
Yeah. Well, with the Gullah being able to kind of keep their tradition, it was really after the Civil War when the troops had left and they were on an island with no transportation really off the island. So their culture was really preserved. And you'll actually also find that on DeFusky Island, which is, you know, another island off of Hilton Head. So, there's a lot of history there. And every February there is a Hilton Head Island Gullah celebration, which is a month long event, and it pays homage to the food, art, music, culture, and the history of the Gullah people.
And to plug the Westin there, you showed us that you have an exhibit there, yes?
Yes, we are right now have an exhibit on loan from the McKissick Museum out of USC, Columbia, and it is Mitchellville, Dawn of Freedom. And, you know, we're really happy to have that in our resort so that our guests can enjoy, you know, guests actually and locals. Any visitors to Hilton Head are free to come by to our mezzanine area and just kind of take a look and see artifacts, some photos of what was once Mitchellville.
I mean, I thought that was fantastic. I go and sort of visit a hotel. I often don't expect to be educated while I'm there about some of the local things, but actually in the place I might possibly be staying. And I mean, it's not just a small little corner you've got dedicated to this. It's a whole mezzanine area, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, it's very right. impressive.
Yeah, it sort of struck me. I mean, this might be a bad analogy. You guys can laugh at me if you want. But Hilton Head, if I had to personify Hilton Head, really felt like a Renaissance man because there was like everything from sort of high adventure sports to golf and tennis to history and then just rich cultural experience. I mean, there was sort of art everywhere, and you don't necessarily always see that all in one place, like especially such a small location.
Well, I think Hilton Head's kind of always had this reputation as being a big retirement community. And it's like, well, why should I go to Hilton Head? I hate to use this again, but it's full of old people. But there's so much going on there that people don't always realize. And another thing that I like, that it's not necessarily right on Hilton Head itself, but it's in that general area, where Pat Conroy, the writer, grew up in that area. Am I right there, Ellen?
Well, no, Pat Conroy actually taught at DeFusky Island.
Pat Conroy, that's right, yeah.
Right. So, you know, there,
the book,
some
the
of his books,
wide,
The Water Is
on,
Wide, exactly, yes. exactly, really describes, you know, the physical and the cultural divide of segregation at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody has a chance to, you know, I highly recommend the book, or there, I believe there's a movie too.
I think so.
Water is Wide, yeah. Mm-hmm. So very neat.
Prince of Tides too, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I remember that one. So tell me, I'm one of those people that only knows about Hilton Head by driving down 95, and I've never made the trek. So if you're going to venture off of the interstate, how far is it, and what other stuff is there to do on Hilton Head that would kind of
to eat? There's certainly lots of places to eat. Well, off of 95, I would say we're about 12 miles in, not very far, a short ride. You know, and even for those who are coming in by air, you know, our major airport is Savannah Hilton Head. And Hilton Head is in the name of that airport because there is a large population of people that go into that airport that are destined for Hilton Head. Mm-hmm. So we have lots of lift coming into that airport. People don't really realize how easy it really is to get to Hilton Head. We have nonstop to over 13 destinations, and we started to get some new carriers such as Allegiant and Sun Country. So those operate out of three cities in Ohio and Minneapolis, St. Paul. You know, they'll be happy to get out of that winter weather. But speaking of culinary, we have Hilton Head. I like to really boast about its culinary culture is that we have over 150 restaurants on the island that are non-chain. You want to go to a destination and really taste its flavors, you know, what's unique about the area. Seafood that comes right out of our waters. We have in Bluffton the Bluffton Oyster Factory that is one of like the last active canning oyster shucking companies, you know, where they actually can their product. They have boats that go out every day.
I love that. That's our big thing. My dad, you know, my parents still live in Myrtle Beach, and they bring oysters from McClellanville every Thanksgiving and Christmas. That's our
They're delicious.
They are delicious. Yeah.
I mean, all those restaurants, they really support their local farms and their fishermen. Throughout the week, you will find several farmers markets that the locals really enjoy taking a part of. So, I mean, I say it's an attraction.
So does it get really dead in the winter? Myrtle Beach used to get so dead in the winter.
You know, it is seasonal, but it's a different kind of guest that comes during the winter. We do have the snowbirds that do come in. And then really, I like to promote November to February as almost a hidden season. Because during the fall, once the fall starts, we really have the golfers that really like to come in, mm-hmm. the families without children, or, you know, the empty nesters. The retirees, really, it's such a hidden secret that, you know, October, November is such a wonderful time of the year to be in Hilton Head.
So do you see, we have a surge of travel at Christmas and at Thanksgiving. People, you know, tend to, do you see that at Hilton Head as well? Or is that maybe a tip for if you're looking for a place for the whole family to go for Thanksgiving or Christmas? How are those seasons there?
The seasons are popular. We do find, we do see a lot of repeat families that do make it a tradition to come to Hilton Head, you know, whether it's at a resort and they come to a resort's big Thanksgiving feast that year, or if they rent a villa or even a home and they get it kind of to become a annual family get together during the holidays. It's what we see a lot of.
That's a good idea.
We toured several resorts down there, but there's such a wide variety of resorts. I think there's something that's a bit just about every budget and every experience. And the West End just stood out. I really liked its location. And you've got some incredible pools and sort of restaurants and right around the pool, but also that beach access as well. But some of the other resorts we toured, Elizabeth, I mean, mm-hmm. Disney have a resort down there, but it's not actually on the beach. It has beach access, but they're on the intracoastal.
It's only Disney that can do that, right? and get away with that. But it is beautiful there. And the interesting thing about Disney Hilton Head, and we don't need to talk about it too much because it's actually very difficult to get cash inventory there. It's part of their Disney Vacation Club. And so it is actually kind of a challenge to pay for a cash room, but they have, you know, 1, 2, 3 bedroom, situations there that, that can really help those family situations and those larger family trips, excuse me, and a beautiful pier that goes out over the marsh. And then they have access to the beach across the street. So you can bicycle over there, you can shuttle across there. And it's sort of interesting because Mickey Mouse is definitely present in South Carolina. It's not, you know, Mickey doesn't come out and, you know, greet you or anything, but he's definitely there and it has the feel of any resort on Disney property. But you know, and even with the story of Shadow, the dog that lives on property, they bring storytelling into everything they do. So yeah, a really great property and sort of two in one because you have the beach access across the street and then the resort. But I think the Westin and then the Omni also, really stood out as very family friendly as well. Mm-hmm. In more of a hotel environment. Certainly you can book cash inventory there. There's no timeshare there. So, so it was definitely, beautiful locations right on the water as well, you know, right on the beach in this case. So, with those great pools that Andy was talking about too, and, the sort of little hideaways, and it was romantic. It was family friendly. It sort of had both of them had something for everyone. The Omni has interesting room layouts with sort of a kitchenette added in, so for larger, sort of larger space and, you know, a little bit more, I don't know, beach house feel. But the rooms at the Westin were also really gorgeous.
Are the rooms at the Westin all just regular hotel rooms? There's no, like,
at the Westin, we actually just completed a $30 million plus renovation in 2013. All of our rooms are either a 1 king bed or 2 queen beds. Basically, your rooms from a resort view all the way to a premium ocean view are about the same size, about 330 square feet. So what makes it different between each other is really the view. And then from there, we have some junior suites and some premium suites that would offer extra space if you like.
Okay.
I remember being down there a few years ago, and the beach in Hilton Head is huge, isn't it? Like, I'm used to the North Carolina Beach and Atlantic Beach area, but the beach, you have so much, it's so far out. It just, is that right?
Am, yes,
I thinking right? I mean, there's so much beach. Yeah, I remember it being, like, just forever to the water. It was awesome.
Well, the great thing about the beaches on Hilton Head is that the town actually does re-nourish the beach. I know the last project, I believe, was 2011, 2012, towards that, like, year-end time. But with the tides also, every 6 hours you have high tide, low tide. So depending on what time of day it is, you have, you know, hundreds of yards of beach, yeah, that you can walk out to. But then during high tide, you can see that it comes right up to the dunes. And where the Westin is situated is right at the heel. So everybody says that Hilton Head looks like a shoe. So the Westin is at the heel of the shoe. And right in that area, we were part of the most recent beach renourishment. So as a part of that, we have tons and tons of beach.
And I would imagine that you don't have a lot of threat from, like, hurricanes and stuff, just because you never really hear of Georgia getting hit by hurricanes.
No, well, actually, knock on wood, indeed. Yeah. We haven't had hurricanes in over 100 years. And if you really look on the East Coast at the map, if you were to draw a straight line north from Hilton Head, we're as inland as Pittsburgh.
Oh, wow.
Oh, see, we have to mention Pittsburgh.
That's so funny, Ellen. You walked right into, like, one of the secret words. That's so funny.
Straight north, we would hit Pittsburgh. And, wow. And it's that curve right along that coast, you know, where, yeah, where we don't see a lot of that activity.
That's a good fall destination spot, then, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's, yeah, that, right, hidden season.
Absolutely. It's one of these places that, you know, it's right on the doorstep for particular folks like myself who live in central South Carolina. It's only a good 2-hour drive from Columbia, with beautiful beaches, great food, And it wouldn't be an Outlander podcast to fly away without mentioning the local breweries, of which there are three. Nice. River Dog in Bluffton itself, and Wooden Skip and Hilton Head Brewing Company, located on the island itself. And, you know, but you can just, they have some good restaurants serving fine wines and that local seafood. It's a great attraction. It's just so much going on and so much to see and do, whether you're a nature lover or a beach lover. Whether you just want to stay on the resort or go a little bit further afield and explore the island by bike, or walk up and down the beach, you can get your exercise. I was very impressed with your exercise room that overlooks the pool area, Ellen, at the West End.
Oh, yes. It's the finest.
That spa that you have there as well. I'm not really the spa type, but I was very impressed.
We're going to work on converting Andy to being the spa type. Ellen, do you want to talk about those a little bit, your exercise area and your spa?
Oh, absolutely. Our exercise areas is accessible for our guests 24 hours a day. So, you know, if anybody is coming from abroad and want to work out at 2 a.m. in the morning, they can. And like Andy said, it overlooks our pool area, which I think is a really nice way to kind of just motivate yourself. Or you could always, you know, borrow some. We have a program at the Westin called Westin Gear Lending. And for a nominal fee of $5 per stay, you get shoes, shorts, a t-shirt. Ladies also get a sports bra. And if it so motivation hits you, you can go and take a run on the beach and try out some new gear.
Isn't that nice?
That is cool.
And it's new That's gear, right, Ellen? It's new stuff. It's like
it's
the latest and the greatest.
So if you forgot something too, that's awesome.
Exactly, and you also don't have to worry about taking up extra space in your luggage or having to pay, you know, extra luggage fee just so that you can fit your workout gear in. And like Elizabeth said, it is new stuff, and it rotate those items all the time. As for the spa, we are the Heavenly Spa on Hilton Head, a part of the Heavenly Spa by Westin brand. You know, we have 9 treatment rooms, a full service salon, so perfect for destination weddings and bridal parties who want to get their makeup and their hair done and treatments before or after the wedding. And we're open to any guests of the island, whether you're staying with us or not. So,
and you were the first Heavenly Spa in the continental U.S., is that correct?
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly. First in the continental U.S. Right behind Fiji. Langkawi, Malaysia, and Maui.
Wow, that's a great company.
And then,
I want to play Trivial Pursuit with you, Andy. Win with you.
I just listened to what Alan was telling.
Exactly, he pays attention.
I went to Hilton Head last summer for the first time with my whole family. It was my parents' 50th anniversary, and we all went there, and we had pictures taken on the beach. And I want to tell you that was so much fun. And it's such a beautiful beach, and it does go on and on and on. Mm-hmm. But that's what stands out most is those pictures. We just had a great time, had great food, did a lot of fun stuff. We had a lot of fun. None of them there before, and I think we'll all go back.
How far of a drive was it for you from here, Raleigh area? 6?
It's about 6 hours. Yeah.
Yeah, about 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We stopped for lunch, so it was a little bit longer, but it was about 6.
Okay.
It was definitely reachable from the southeastern U.S. And it's, as I say, I think it's an overlooked area that I certainly haven't considered until recently. The last time I was there was 15 years ago to coach in a soccer tournament. And the last thing I wanted to do was not do much other than get out of my hotel room because I was dealing with 13-year-old girls. But actually, that came out wrong.
You don't have a 13-year-old daughter.
But Hilton Head really is beautiful. And I say you've got the history and the nature and the beach and these beautiful resorts. You know, something for everybody and that local food. Ellen, you've just got basically a little paradise down there off the... lower part of South Carolina and Georgia, Sea Islands down there. It's absolutely beautiful.
Well, we're certainly very lucky to have this environment at our doorsteps. And I hope everybody gets to come and visit.
Yeah, I know.
I'm actually looking at coming down to South later this year. I've got family coming over from England, and it's definitely a place we're considering sort of getting away from Colombia for a couple of days.
And I wouldn't hesitate recommending it for a week-long stay. I mean, people, you know, you may think, oh, it's just a long getaway, but you can day trip to Savannah from there, and then there's the other islands right around there. So even if you think you might get bored on Hilton Head, which you shouldn't, but even if you think you might, there's plenty to do right there in that area.
You know, I have a friend that just went there, and she has 4-year-old twins, and they did a little pirate cruise where they...
Oh, yes.
She said that was the best day of their lives so far.
Wow, she's really well traveled too. I know exactly who you're talking
about. Yeah, I know, right? So yeah, they loved that. So they had a good time. So great family stuff too. Yeah.
It is. There's lots. Like I said earlier, there's just so much for any kind of traveler. There, if you can't find something to do, you just have to contact me, and I'll find something for you.
And by that, she means contact us, so we can contact her for you.
Right.
Well, guys, I think that's our show. Wraps up our show for this week. Ellen, thank you so much for
thank
being
you,
here.
Ellen.
And just sharing a lot of passion for all things Hilton Head. We really appreciate your time. It really is a special place to get away to, and we really enjoyed hearing more about it. So, Ellen, thank you again. To our listeners, we welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode at all. To leave comments, you can visit us at our website, outlandertravel.com. Then you can click the podcast button at the top of the page and find the episode on which you wish to comment. Or you can like us on Facebook at Outlander Podcast. You can search for that or Fly Away within Facebook. Or you can email us at info@outlandertravel.com. We'd love to hear from you. So on behalf of Elizabeth, Amy, Robin, Sandy, and myself, Andy, and from our guest, Ellen Lamb, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. We've got to fly.